God does not want people to turn to him because they have to, but because they want to. It's the same when you have a relationship with somebody, right? You don't force them to love you. That's not love. Hopefully they choose to love you. That's true love. And so that's what God wants. He wants people to choose him, not be forced to choose him. Understand? So faith in him, it requires choice. But choice only comes if there's an opportunity presented to not choose him. And that's where Satan comes in.
Hi everyone, welcome to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. We are a small fellowship of diverse believers who want to serve our Lord and do his will. You can find out more about our fellowship at ccechopark.com. Join us for a live stream on Sunday in the New Testament and Wednesday evenings in the Old Testament. Now let's get into the Word of God in our weekly podcast. The teaching is from Pastor David Higa and will be the study of the revelation of Jesus Christ and the book of Revelation.
Revelation 20 verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy, verse 6, is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. During the millennium, earth will experience peace like never before. Jesus will be ruling on the throne of David and imposing a benevolent theocracy on all of his creation. Everyone's needs will be fulfilled. Can you imagine that? You have a need, it's going to be fulfilled. Everyone's needs is going to be fulfilled, will be fulfilled, and sin will not be tolerated. So there still will be an aspect of sin, because people are going to be living in their mortal bodies. They're going to have a sin nature, but it's not going to be tolerated. So when someone wants to steal something, bang, they're going to be held accountable. And Jesus is going to be there, right? You're going to be put in front of Jesus. You can't lie to him. We're going to be in our resurrected bodies, right? We're going to be ruling and reigning, made like the angels, not angels, but made like them. And so we're going to know a lot of things, right, that's going on. So we're going to hold people to the perfect rule of law. So sin will not be tolerated. And while the believers that return from heaven with Christ will have their heavenly bodies, that's the church, the believers who live through the tribulation will remain mortal, as I mentioned, right? So those that survive the tribulation, don't take the mark of the beast, they're going to live on into the millennial kingdom, and they're going to be in their mortal bodies. They're going to live a long time, though, right? The scripture says that if someone dies at 100 years old in the millennium, they're going to be a baby. Right? They're going to live a long time because there's going to be a healing of the nations, because this healing water is going to go out from the temple in the millennium from Jesus. But it says here, the believers who live through the tribulation will remain mortal. Thus, that group of people will procreate and repopulate the earth during the 1,000 years on earth. I want you to note that. All these ones are going to live a long time, and they're going to repopulate the earth, but there's going to be a massive population explosion. And it's going to be good. Think about this. There's not going to be any more stillbirths, no more miscarriages. It's just, everything's going to be just, life is going to be abundant. Since there will not be any food shortages, pestilence, natural disasters, and death, like we know today because of sin, the human population will grow very large during that time. Thus, a large group of people not in either of the first two categories will result, a group of people born during the millennium. That will bring about a very interesting situation. Now, here's where the philosophical question is, why let Satan loose? Now, you ever ask that? We just read that. Satan's going to be let loose at the end of the millennium. Why? Things are going so good. Well, it's a philosophical question. The ones born in the millennial kingdom, in their mortal bodies, they must exercise what? Faith. Even though Jesus is there, they have a sin nature, they're not perfected yet. They don't have the resurrected body. They must exercise faith. Why? Because scripture teaches this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just, they shall live by faith, not by sight. And so even though they see Jesus, they need to put their faith on the inside in Jesus. And that's going to happen only if they're presented with the option to not have faith. You see, in a way, it's going to be an outward conformity. Not a forced faith, but they're going to outwardly conform because Satan is bound. But once Satan is unbound and he deceives them, he presents them with the things of the flesh, they're going to have to make a choice. No, I'm going to have faith in Jesus. And so that needs to come to pass. That's the philosophical question of why the millennial kingdom, in terms of 1,000 years, at the end, Satan will present that choice to rebel. It's the same choice given to Adam and Eve. They had a choice to what? Faithfully, right? Follow God, or a choice to rebel against Him. And so we're going to see that similar test in the millennial kingdom. And so choice needs to be established. At the end of 1,000 years, they will have to make a choice to either serve God or to serve their sinful nature, because Satan will be loosed for a short time to give them that choice. Now, it's the same choice we have today, isn't it? The God of this world. Are we going to what? Serve God? Or are we going to serve our sinful nature? It's the same choice that we have here. Now, that is why we learn that Satan is tied up during that period and then released one final brief time. It would seem, all along and up until the very end, before Satan is thrown into the lake of fire for eternity, that Satan has been serving God's purpose to give mankind a choice. That's an interesting point, right? It would seem that Satan is being used by God to give mankind a choice so that they would exercise faith towards Him. Now, a lot of them exercise faith to rebel against Him, or don't exercise faith. They exercise a choice to rebel against Him. But really, God is using Satan to exercise that choice. Isn't that interesting? Consequently, another option has to be provided to make the choice valid. It will demonstrate that even without Satan or the evil influences of a fallen world, the inherent evil nature of man will still be at work and will separate people from God unless they repent and turn to Him. Now, the point is this, and that last thought there, that even in this almost perfect environment, where there's perfect righteousness, there's the healing of the nations, right? There's no more famines, no more pestilence. Even in that, when Satan is loose, you know what people are going to do? They're going to choose self. Isn't that interesting? And so, you know, you ever hear people say, well, if I see God, if I see a miracle, well, they're going to see Jesus. They're going to see this whole world, right? If I see, I'll fall. No, for 1,000 years, they saw. And then when presented with the choice to rebel and choose self or choose Satan, what do? You see, it kind of thwarts that argument, doesn't it? So just as Satan convinced a third of the angels to follow him from heaven, and now they are what we call demons or fallen angels, he will masterfully convince some people to rise up and defiantly oppose God. Now, it's going to be many, many people, as numerous as the sand in the sea. That's how many are going to rebel at the end of the millennium. Sadly, some people that were ruled by the iron scepter throughout the millennium and resented it due to their sinful natures will be persuaded to rise against God. The scripture does not give much detail about it, which suggests that almost as soon as it begins, God will put an end to it. Okay, so all that, we just read that in our text, that as soon as they rebel, that God puts an end to it. But nevertheless, they have to be given that opportunity. And that's why Satan is loosed at the end of the millennial kingdom, to give them that opportunity. Okay, so that answers one of the questions, why? Okay, now I want to take you to some scriptures on the pristine state of the millennial kingdom, as I mentioned, okay, in our text. Okay, so if you go with me to Ezekiel chapter 47, right? Hold your hand there. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. And this is the reference to the healing waters. Ezekiel chapter 47. It's a real powerful passage. Ezekiel 47. Now, this is the latter part of Ezekiel, and this is the portion of Scripture. It's talking about the millennial kingdom. It's right after the physical millennial temple is built, all the different dimensions in great detail. We just studied Ezekiel, finished that a few weeks ago. We're in the book of Daniel right now on Wednesday nights. But remember in chapter 47, it speaks of when Jesus returns that there's going to be healing waters that go out from the temple. And we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 14 and read that too. When Jesus returns on the Mount of Olives, he's going to split that mountain, and there's going to be water going from Jerusalem, from where the temple is, where he's at. And there's going to be healing waters going all the way out to the Dead Sea. It's going to heal the Dead Sea. There's going to be life again in the Dead Sea. Well, there's never life now, but there's going to be life at that time. And then it's going to be healing waters going to the Mediterranean Sea. Now, I want you to remember this. Remember one of the bowls of judgment? All the living creatures in the sea died. And so from that time to the time of the millennial kingdom, when Jesus puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, what's going to happen? The healing water is going to give life to the seas again, especially the Dead Sea, which has been dead even before, right? Dead Sea is dead now because of the salt content. Well, in Ezekiel chapter 47, what it describes is that the waters are going to be healed. And these waters, they're going to create these fruit trees, and people are going to go to these fruit trees. They're going to eat of it. And you know what's going to be happening? What's going to happen? Be happening there? They're going to be healed. And that's why they're going to live a long time. Anybody have some health problems? Well, you're just going to go there. You're going to eat of this fruit. And you're going to be healed. That's why there's going to be an elongation of life in the millennial kingdom. So chapter 47, let me read from verse 8. Chapter 47, verse 8. That's good enough. And let's read from verse 8 to verse 12. It says, "Then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed.'" Now, it's talking the eastern, right? So what's east of Jerusalem? It's the Dead Sea. And so he's going to heal the Dead Sea. It's going to be called the Alive Sea, I guess. There's going to be living creatures there, right? And so verse 9 says, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live." These healing waters, they're coming from Jesus. That's what's being described. He's in the temple. If you read prior in from verse 1, he's in the temple, and from under the temple, these waters are flowing. And it's going to the Dead Sea. They're healing waters, right? And so there will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. "For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." Isn't that glorious? "It shall be," verse 10, "that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be out of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea," which is the Mediterranean Sea, "exceedingly many." Verse 11, "but its swamps and marshes will not be healed." So we see, again, even though there's a healing of the Dead Sea, there's still going to be marshes and swamps, which kind of give us a picture that it's not heaven yet. It's not the New Jerusalem. It's the millennial kingdom. Because we know there's going to be death in the millennial kingdom. Right? But there's going to be, it's going to be an earth that's reestablished how it should be run, right? Under the rule of Jesus. And so we see aspects of death sentences, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed, and they will be given over to salt, right? And so if you go there even right now, you can see all these different marshes, right? And the Dead Sea is high, this high salt content. There's no life. There's no life can exist there. Well, that's going to be brought back to life, the Dead Sea, but there's going to be areas which remind them that they're still not in heaven. Okay? Now, verse 12. "Along the bank of the river, on this side of that and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food," fruit trees, okay? "Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fall. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary," from Jesus in the temple. And notice this, "their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine." So you know what? You're not going to have to take that vaccine anymore. You're going to go right there to that food. Isn't that cool? Now, forgive me, I'm not against, you know, I'm not one way or the other, but all that to say is we're not going to have to go to get a shot. We're going to go to these trees and we need them. That's why there's going to be an elongation of life, because people are going to be healed. And so we see the healing waters. You know, another mention of living waters is in Zechariah chapter 14. Let's turn there. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. So Zechariah is almost to your New Testament. I think it's what, about two books prior to the New Testament, if I'm not mistaken. Malachi is the last of the Old Testament. I think Zechariah is just before that. Yeah. So Zechariah chapter 14, this speaks of living waters, okay? Zechariah chapter 14. And, you know, the context of Zechariah 14 is the return of Jesus Christ. And it begins to talk about how when he returns, he's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives, as I mentioned, right? He's going to split that mountain, a great earthquake. And then we're going to see the living waters connect the Mediterranean Sea to the Dead Sea. They're going to come from the temple there, as we just saw in Ezekiel. Right? And it's going to start to heal the lands. Okay, so in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8, it talks about these living waters. Okay, it says, "And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one." Okay, so this references now the not only the healing waters, but living water, right? Life is going to come from these waters, and it's going to just rejuvenate this whole earth, right? It's going to bring healing to this whole earth. Also, want to reference the nations coming up to the temple to worship Jesus and to be taught by Jesus. Now, we like Bible studies. We go to Bible studies, but can you imagine going to a Bible study that Jesus is going to teach? Can you imagine? Can you imagine a worship night with Jesus? Man, it's going to be glorious. Well, there's all kinds of scripture that talks about this during the millennium. All the nations are going to come to Jerusalem and begin to worship, and they're going to be taught by him. I want to take you to a few of these scriptures. It's just going to be a glorious time, people. You're not going to get sick anymore. You're going to be healed. You're going to go to church with Jesus. Wow. Isn't that great? To worship with him, and be taught by him. Notice in Zechariah, let's go further in Zechariah chapter 14. Let's notice right in verse 16. We just read 8 and 9. Let's go to 16. Zechariah 14, verse 16 says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king and the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." You know, this references in the Millennial Kingdom, they're going to have the feasts again. We noted this, there's also going to be sacrifices in the temple. Not sacrifices to remove sin. Jesus already is that ultimate sacrifice. But as I mentioned, these are mortal people, right? And there's going to be a remnant of Israel that right there, they're going to repopulate the land to the fullness of the Abrahamic covenant, which we're going to talk about at the end of our study. This is another reason why the Millennial Kingdom has to come literally. But as they go to the land there, they're going to obey the feast. They're going to have sacrifice because they're living by faith still. There's an aspect of faith. Even though Jesus is in their midst, by faith they have to come with these offerings. Because without faith, it is impossible. Please God. Right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The righteous shall live by faith. See, these ones aren't perfected yet. We'll be in our resurrected bodies. We'll be perfected. Our faith will fully have been turned to sight. The body of the resurrected body is an eternal body. They'll never die. But these mortal ones, they're going to die, even though they're going to live a long time. So there's an aspect of faith that they need to exercise. There's a part that they don't know yet fully because they're not perfected physically. And so they have to exercise faith. And so it's going to be how God desired it. You know how God desired in the Old Testament that Israel would be what? A beacon of light. That the Gentile nations will come to worship the Lord, right? As Israel would worship the Lord. But what happened? Israel became more like the world, right? then the world becoming like Israel. But in the millennial kingdom, it's going to be how it's supposed to be. Israel is going to be worshiping, going up to Jerusalem. They're going to be offering sacrifices, obeying feast days, right? And then the Gentile nations are going to enter in with them. It's going to be how it should have been, right? And that's why we see the exercising of them coming up to Jerusalem to do this, okay? We see this in the millennial kingdom. Also, there's other references. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. If you turn with me to the book of Isaiah, talks about this as well. Isaiah chapter 2. I want you to actually turn here because we reference to these real quickly, but I want you to actually turn to these scriptures because you can mark these in your Bible and you can see that all these Old Testament prophets, they're referring to the millennial kingdom for Israel. Right? They're writing to their people. So Isaiah chapter 2, it's the first of the major prophets, right after the poetry books. Isaiah chapter 2, and I want you to read with me verses 2 through 4. Okay, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Now it shall come to pass in the," what, "latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." Shall flow to? To the mountain of the Lord, to the temple. "Many people," right, "shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." You see, we're going to go up to Jerusalem, the city on a hill. We're going to go up to the temple on the top of that city on the hill, and we're going to be taught by Jesus. All the nations are going to go there, and he's going to teach us his word and how we ought to live. And this life here is going to be fabulous because people, in a way, they're going to be forced to follow his direction. As I mentioned, right? There are going to be a multitude, right? In their hearts, they don't want to follow, but there's going to be consequences for not following. So that's the problem with now, right? There's no consequences for not following. You say, "Hey, you know, I don't want to go to church anymore. I want to gossip." People think, "Oh, I'm just free to do it." That's not going to happen in the millennium. Jesus is going to correct you. And things are going to be much better. You understand? But it's going to be more of an external way, right? There's not going to be a change of heart. That has to be exercised by faith, as I mentioned. But we're all going to go up to Jerusalem and be taught by the Lord. Other scriptures, Micah chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, speak of the same thing. I want to mention to you, stay in Isaiah with me. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. Just so you lay your eyes on this, I referenced this last week, but lay your eyes on it. There's going to be peace in the animal kingdom. Remember I told you this? That as a child, if you want a lion as a pet, can you imagine? Can you imagine a little child, right, having a lion as a pet? That's going to be possible in the millennial kingdom because they're not going to be carnivorous anymore. Isaiah chapter 11, let's read from verse 6 through 9. It says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them." Isn't that glorious? And so you're thinking, all this, man, it's going to be so good, Lord. This is what we look forward to. And then why would you let Satan loose again? Well, again, it has to be internal. They have to exercise faith. That's why. Verse 7, "The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox," like the ox. So there's not going to be carnivorous animals. Lion's going to eat straw. "The nursing child shall play by the cobra's nest," or cobra's hole. "And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." Imagine a weaned child, how little that is, going to put his hand in the viper's den to pet him. Verse 9, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So the knowledge of the Lord is going to go out as the sea covers, right? The covering of the knowledge of the Lord is going to go out to all the people, and he's going to hold people accountable for following his word. It's going to be a great, great time. Lastly, I want to take you to a reference where it refers to Israel, because I think this is a point I want to make in the latter as we close now, is that Israel is the main reason why the millennial kingdom has to come. This is why I believe it has to be a literal, physical millennial kingdom, because of Israel, because of the unconditional covenant with Abraham. Okay, so there's the reason, right, that Satan needs to be loosed at the end, right, to test those that are born in the millennial kingdom. But there's a reason for the millennial kingdom in its entirety, because of Israel. And we're going to go to that. But I want to take you to a passage in Ezekiel chapter 37. So hold your hand, keep holding your hand in Revelation 20, but let's go to Ezekiel again. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. And let's read verses 24 and 25. Ezekiel 37, verses 24 and 25. Notice it says, David my servant, verse 24, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. He's prophesying of the millennial kingdom. So David is going to be the king over Jerusalem. And now it says, then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. You see, as I mentioned, right, remember that 75-day interval preceding the millennial kingdom, the Old Testament saints will receive their resurrected bodies. And that's David. And so David is going to rule and reign in Jerusalem there. Now, Jesus is going to be king. But the vicinity, right, the place where David's going to rule and reign is Jerusalem. You see, when we rule and reign with Christ, we're going to be given regions on this earth to rule and reign over. Jesus is going to be ruling and reigning over all the earth, but we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. And so there are going to be different places in the earth. Hopefully, you know, you get a good place. Who's going to rule and reign over Echo Park? I think it's Brother Johnny here. The mayor of Echo Park. Maybe. But we're going to be given different places to rule and reign. And so that's what's being described. David is going to be what? Ruling and reigning over Jerusalem. There. Other scriptures that refer to David doing that is Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 23 through 25. And then Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 3. He's the prince, okay? And so I wanted to kind of give you a description how Israel's a part of this and how you have a remnant of Israel coming into the millennium to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant, okay?
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by the teaching, and join us again as we continue to study the Word of God. Once again, you can always visit us on our homepage at ccechopark.com for more information and teachings from Pastor David. To God be the glory.